are some of those spiritual truths that we are supposed to be seeking? And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks at Secure, Safe, and Lock, 321-453-5397. Good morning to you all there. We got some listeners to the Refresh Radio program that work in the office, and so we want to say hello to them this morning. They have been helping us keep our building secure for a long time now. I think it's 15 or 20 years Andrew and his team and have been helping us. It wasn't always the people at Secure, Safe, and Lock. His dad owned a different company, and they've been taking care of us. But we've been knowing them and having them come out and solve our lock issues for a long, long time now. And they do a wonderful, wonderful job. Very, very knowledgeable. They knew things that could solve our problems that I didn't even know existed. So 321-534. Let me try that one more time, shall we? 321-453-5397. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. That would be greatly appreciated. So we're going to go back to Isaiah, the 45th chapter this morning. Just to give you a little bit of background, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. While you're turning there, I want to invite you out to our Mother's Day service this coming Sunday morning. Mother's Day comes early this year. I don't think it can come any earlier than what it is this year. It can't, because it's always the second Monday. My wife and I were excited. Our birthdays do not fall on a church day this year. And so she's got a birthday coming up this week. I've got a birthday coming up the following week. Grandson got a birthday coming up the week after that. So it's pray I don't gain too much weight. Celebrations. We had a daughter whose birthday was last week. And so it's just a lot of celebrating that goes on in the month of May. Throw in an anniversary and Memorial Day, and throw in a wedding anniversary as well. And man, there's a lot of opportunities to eat a lot of food. So you pray for me that I behave myself, and that would be greatly appreciated. So Mother's Day, May the 8th, we are going to be having a special guest speaker. Her name is Judy Cotignola. She works in the women's ministry department in our district office. I was at one of our conferences years ago, heard her preach, and she did a phenomenal job. Or actually, I heard her teach. She did a phenomenal job. Her and her husband have pastored churches, and when he was ill, he's still doing okay. They just transitioned and to a different ministry, but she actually ended up, you know, not only being husband or being wife and mother and pastor's wife, but she ended up using her gifts to help hold that church together during her husband's illness. And so we are really excited to have her. I told my daughter, I said, hey, I've scheduled Judy to come and preach, and she just responded and said, it's going to be fire. and so we're expecting a powerful, powerful time in the presence of the Lord. If you'd like to come out and celebrate Mother's Day with us, we'd greatly appreciate that. 10:30 Sunday morning, Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. So let's get back to Isaiah, the 45th chapter, begin reading in verse number 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for the price, or not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. So we're going to begin in verse number 11. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. In other words, God's the one who made Cyrus. This is a prophetic passage describing how Cyrus, you can read that in verse number 1 of chapter 45, was going to be the person who would rebuild Jerusalem. He would send the captives back. Their Babylonian captivity would cease. It would no longer be necessary. The land would have celebrated its 70 years of jubilee that it was supposed to have enjoyed during the time that Israel had occupied the promised land. But now Cyrus was going to say, it's time for you to go back. So verse number 11 says, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. When God speaks, it's on a whole different level, a whole different plane of authority than when man speaks. Man speaks about things that he knows or things about he thinks he knows. If you look in places, people speak evil about things that they don't know, that they're not familiar with. The truth of the matter is, men do not like change. Women do not like change. We don't like for things to be disrupted. But, the thing about Jesus coming to earth was it was to bring change. God is the only one in the universe that does not change. The universe is constantly changing. You are constantly changing. Things that are going on, I was talking with someone recently, and I said it finally dawned on me who they were. I thought the person that I was speaking to was the daughter, not the parent. And I was like, wow, you haven't changed at all. I mean, you still look like you did when we first met, and that was 20 some years ago. And they were in town for an Easter service, and she said, you and your wife haven't changed. And I said, well, my hair has drastically changed color. And she said, well, we won't talk about my hair and what color it naturally is. But there are some people that they may not look like they change, but my hair tells me that things are changing. You know, the older that your kids get, the more you realize that they're changing. So we've got a milestone birthday for someone that's a few years away. And the realization came to me. It's like, you know, that's not that far into the future. And I can remember when my father hit that birthday. And I can remember when I hit that birthday. And I'm realizing I'm about to experience the third generation of people hitting that birthday. And it's like, there's a lot of change. So, you know, I've told y'all that, we're coming up on 30 years of being the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. And it seems like 30 years has flown by really quickly. And yet you look around and you see a community that is changing. It is moving forward. There are things that used to be there that aren't there anymore, and things that were never developed that are developed, and things that were once thriving are now, they don't have that same feel about them anymore. So things change. God here is the Holy One of Israel, and he's also your maker. God doesn't change. He's holy. He's perfect. There's never going to be a new and improved version. And here he says this, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Can I just encourage you to know that God holds your future in his hands? I was doing some sermon prep here several weeks ago, and I came across this verse, and let me just set the stage for you. I said, you know, God is perfect. God's ways are perfect. God's work is perfect. But then I ran across this verse, and it said that God is perfecting his works on our behalf. The things that are going on in our lives. He's got a perfect will. He orders our steps. He directs our path. And when he is working on a situation, it is going to work out perfectly. And I just was very excited about that verse, because that means it's not dependent on me. It's dependent upon my obedience, but it's not dependent upon my skill set. It's not dependent upon me coming up with the idea, me coming up with the finances. God's working on all of those situations, and when he goes to work in your life and on your circumstance, he's going to accomplish it perfectly. That's why you can say, all things work together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? It doesn't mean that everything that happens is good, but God has the ability to turn curses into blessings. He has the ability to turn mourning into dancing. He is able to perfect your steps and your And he does it personally. God is not detached. He's not relegated you to second-tier status or third-tier status. You know, in Hollywood, they've got A-listers, B-listers, C-listers, D-listers. I don't know how many down the alphabet you go. You might not even make a list in Hollywood. It's okay. Some of those lists I'm perfectly fine not being on, I hope they don't sprain their shoulder, patting themselves on the back. It is a risk in that industry. There's all of those things. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, it says that the God of all glory, who will himself come and perfect you. He's working on you. He's removing the impurities, he's removing the sins, he's removing the ungodly desires, he's removing the things that are not according to his plan and his purpose. So he says, ask me of things to come concerning my son. So if you want to know what your future holds, you need to know the one who holds your future. There are a lot of people who are extremely misguided, who say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look to the stars, and I know when my birthday falls under this particular zodiac sign. And if it says, if my horoscope says that it's a bad day, yes, I said it that way on purpose, then I'm just going to stay in bed. Well, I want you to know what the Bible says. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day when you and I are supposed to expand the kingdom of light, and we don't yield an inch to the kingdom of darkness. So don't let the stars determine what your future is. Do not let the devil or your fear determine what your future is. Realize that God has spoken over you, has plans for you, is watching over you, equipping you so that you will be a success. And he says, so you can ask me what the future is going to hold for my kids, and I will tell you. God says what he's going to do, and there's nothing the devil can do to stop it. Verse number 11 continues and says, "And concerning the work of my hands," so I look at it this way, "ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands." That's the way that I read that. So if you want to know what God is doing, ask him. Ask him. I can't tell you how many times a child has asked, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I've seen people who are very gifted in responding to that situation, and they respond in such a way that it causes the child to want to be involved in that process to as much as they possibly can be. I'm the type of guy that whenever I have a person with a skill set that I do not have, I'm the guy that wants to watch. I'm not the guy that wants to hound them and, you know, try and tell them how to do their job or anything like that. I'm the guy that wants to learn how to do what they're doing. And so I guarantee you that God looks at you as a hands-on experience. He doesn't delegate you to someone else. He is personally involved. He is at work in you, and he does all things well. So you can ask him about that. There's another phrase here, and it says this, "And concerning the work of my hands, you command me." Now, the New King James Version here has a period there. I went and looked in several translations. I've got a note out here. Who's the boss? Who's the boss? And there's two possible translations. The translations went one of two ways. They would say, "You command me," or the other option was, "Will you command me?" Now, I will tell you that I know pastors, I know a lot of believers, and they have no problem, bossing God around. "God, if you don't do this, then I'm done." Done. I got a problem with that because I tried it. Now, if you don't have a problem with it, you know, you can go ahead. I want to know what the promises are, know what God is doing, and believe God for what he's doing, that what he's begun, he will finish. He's not got a bunch of abandoned projects lying around. He's still at work on the situation. But roughly in 2006, I was praying as I was painting the building of the church, and I was asking God, what is going on? 40% of our congregation had been scattered across the country. What is going on? And he said, "Do you remember that prayer that you prayed?" And I've told this story before. I'd prayed a prayer back in 1995, 96, somewhere in there. It was in the fall. And I said, "God, I can't continue to put my family through this. If you don't do something in a year, I'm going to have to go find something else. Whether it's another church or another line of work or whatever, I'm going to have to find something else because I can't keep putting my family through this." That was the prayer that I prayed. And God said, you reversed roles. You treated me as if you were God when you should have been recognizing that I'm God. I'm the one who made you. I'm the one who's working in your life. I'm the one who placed you where I wanted you. That's the way that you should have approached it. And he said, And so I answered your prayer. The demand that you made upon me, I responded. The church grew, the finances grew. And he said, and I gave you a bunch of people who responded or who treated me exactly like that. There were people who made decisions, not because they had a thus saith the Lord, but because they made decisions for other reasons. I'm not here to judge those reasons. All I'm saying is not one of them came up to me and said, you know, the Lord told me to do that. There were some that were military related. Those I understood. You get those coming in right now. We're praying against somebody getting some of those orders to transfer because they love Merit Assembly God and we love them. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the military gives you orders where you're going to go, and that's the mindset I have. God is the commander in chief. God is the one who issues the commands, not me. And you know, if you're one that is trying to exalt yourself to where you command God instead of responding in obedience to the commands that God gives you, I hope it works out well for you. It didn't work out well for me, so I changed. I said, you know what, God, I only want to go around that mountain one time, because that's what he said. How many times do you want to go around this mountain? I gave you a harvest where people were treating me the same way that you were treating me back then. How many times do you want to go around this mountain? I said, one time will be enough. And I started painting with even more intentionality. That wasn't the last difficult season that we ever went through at Merit Assembly of God. But every time it keeps coming back to this, who's the boss? Who's the boss? You know, children like to argue, young children, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. Well, why are you putting them in charge? And well, they're the oldest. So I just want to ask you to consider today the nature of your relationship with God. Are you going to ask him about the things concerning his people, what he's doing? But whatever you do, I highly encourage, if you've got a different view and it works for you, go for it. But I like to remind myself, it's not Bob in charge. It's Jesus in charge. And God has the ability to bless me. I've got the ability to make a mess out of things. He's got the ability to clean up that mess and turn it into a message. And I would encourage you to keep reminding yourself that God is the one who is in charge. Verse number 13 says this, I have raised him up in righteousness. That would be Cyrus. Okay, so let me tell you that God has the ability to raise people up that are not from the same background that you are from. He is able to use them for his glory. It is about when he issues a command, will those people respond and saying, God, I want to make sure I'm in right standing with you. And so the kings of the Medes and the Persians, which Cyrus was the king of, it was said that their law could not be revoked, that if somebody came and made a declaration according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, that could not be revoked. But Cyrus knew that there was somebody that was higher than him. And that declaration we've already talked about, Darius made sure that the declaration also had application when it came time to rebuild that. I have raised him up in righteousness. No matter where you've come from, no matter what country you may have come from, what region you may have come from, what background you may have come from, Jesus Christ makes righteousness possible for you, right standing with God. All you've got to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Don't forget that lordship factor. Okay? He says, I will direct all his ways. And so I want him in charge. This is what he says. He shall build my city. He will let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward. And so here's what he says about Cyrus. He says, I'm going to tell him what to do because he's going to have an understanding of a right relationship with me, and he's going to be intent on building what I want built, liberating those that I want free, and he's not going to do it because I've bribed him. He's not going to be doing it for a reward. He's going to be doing it because I said so. I said so. One of the things that I have found is that there are a lot of people who are willing to argue away what God has clearly said in his word. They want to argue to hold on to something that Jesus is asking them to let go of. Can I tell you that Cyrus is most famous for his obedience to what God said? That is the pivotal point in his rule and reign. There were other things he did, but the thing that he gets talked about the most about is the fact that when God said, I want you to build my city, I want you to set my prisoners free, and I want you to do it simply because I said so, that's the greatest reward. Why do I need to give my heart to Jesus? Because the word says so. Why do I believe Jesus is coming again? Because the word says so. Why do I want to walk in obedience? Because the word says so. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, it overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. And all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. And I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. You are the voice that called the universe to me. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Until I see you face to face, your grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you.